Scott Spears back with you here on WWGH Radio, the early show on this Thursday, August the 15th, 2019. 17 coming up on 18 minutes past the hour. And the school year is upon us, the time when all the students head back to school for another great year. And what a better time to talk with the superintendent of Marion City Schools, Dr. Ron Arusi. Dr. Arusi, how are you?
I'm great, Scott. First of all, let me say thank you for allowing me to come on your show today and talk a little bit about the opening of school and what we have to offer at Marion City Schools. I appreciate that.
Well, I thank you for coming in. I don't think we've ever had a chance to meet, so it's been fun chatting, and hopefully this will be a fun chat.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you as well.
Tell us about what's going on with Marion City Schools.
Well, I know we only have a couple I could probably sit here and talk for a couple days, actually, about what we have going on in Marion City Schools. You know, I think probably if you read some of the news articles and social media that's out there, I think it's an exciting time for Marion City Schools. First of all, we were able to secure over this past year over $10 million in grant funding to really put forth some good initiatives that we have in place moving into this school year. This is the start of my second year as superintendent here, and so for the first year, I spent a lot of time working with the staff and really having conversations about what we think some of our most critical needs are and the areas that we really need to attack as far as, you know, improving the culture and the climate, but more importantly, academic achievement for all of our students. And so, you know, we've identified that, and we've developed, I think, a really good strategic plan, but the nice thing about that is we have funding to support that now.
We hear a lot about the talk of culture in schools now. How do you define the culture in Marion City Schools?
You know, I think we have a very good culture in Marion City Schools. I think if you ask our community about, you know, how they feel about the schools, and they'll tell you that our teachers are very caring and that it's a welcoming environment, within the community, there are issues that we need to face and provide supports for to improve that culture and still continue to build on what we have. But, you know, actually providing supports for folks, our most, needy folks within the community, because if we can bring them up to speed and get them ready to learn and help solve some of their issues in the classroom, that's really going to do a lot more to improve the culture that we have.
What would you say is the biggest culture change that you would like to see happen this school year?
Yeah, I think, you know, really two things. I think that we really need to focus on increasing academic achievement. You know, our report card has not been the greatest. We can argue and talk about, you know, what those indicators are all about and how they affect schools like ours, like Marion City. But the bottom line is, you know, we are, if you want to talk about literacy, you know, we need to improve the amount of students that read on grade level. And so, you know, what we're really trying to do is provide our staff members with all the tools they need to be successful with our students. But we also need to provide supports for those what we consider non-academic barriers to success. So, you know, some of our students who come from poverty and some trauma and those kinds of things, you know, to be able to provide supports that are embedded within the school districts so that we can take care of those social-emotional learning needs, because you can't have one without the other. If students come to school and they're not capable, or there's something that provides a barrier for them to success, then we need to be able to provide that support. And also within the classroom, our instructional strategies and the resources need to be aligned so that we can increase the achievement.
You know, it's interesting. Once a year, these test scores come out for every school district, and they'll run in the newspaper, and they'll run on television, and they'll run on radio, and you'll see them on the internet without much of an explanation as to why they are what they are. As you said, Marion City's in the last few years have not looked great. Why is that, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I don't like to make excuses. Bottom line is, you know, we're going to continue to do all we can to improve the academic achievement for our students. You know, we're more interested in the individual student and how far we can grow each student within within our school district. But the local report card, and I, you know, I've spent a lot of time this past year in Columbus because I think there's a question about what that report card represents. You know, how is it used in the community? Does the community even understand what is included in that report card? So I've spent a lot of time. I testified before the Joint Education Oversight Committee, you know, about the how Marion City Schools relates to that report card. And, you know, you can take a list of schools, you know, now they rank you, you get an A, B, C, D, or F, you get a letter grade. Well, I think there's 14 school districts that received an A in the state of Ohio. But if you look at the list and you rank order them from the top districts that received A's down to the bottom districts that received F's, and you put the correlation or the economic indicators right next to those, you know, there's a direct correlation. The more affluent schools are, the better they achieve. So, you know, our thing is, you know, you cannot assume that in Marion City Schools, where we have, you know, some 60% poverty and 100% free and reduced lunch and some of those issues, that you can teach children the same way as you can in a, say, an Olentangy or some more affluent school districts, because, you know, there's obviously a lot of supports at home in some of those schools that we have to kind of buffer and provide additional supports for. And so, you know, that's where the report card is. You know, you take some of the indicators like value added and ask the community member, what does value added mean to you? You probably couldn't answer that question, you know, and we have to understand what those mean within the school district as well.
So how is that dealt with if it's so closely related, people's economic mm-hmm. situation at home?
Well, I think that, and I'll give Governor DeWine some credit this year within the budget, realizing that, you know, there are districts like ours, especially those districts that have a high poverty rate, need to be able to provide more supports for the social emotional learning aspect of that. And so in this budget, Marion City Schools will receive additional funding for us to provide those supports. And some of it's through grant money, again, which we were able to secure. But, you know, I think that's part of the difference is that, you know, if a child comes to school and, you know, both their parents are trying to do what they can to make ends meet and they're working, you know, night turn and afternoon turn and all those things. And some of those supports when they come home for additional learning, expanded learning aren't there. So we can't, you know, we can't just assume that we're going to give a child a homework assignment and they're going to come back the next day with additional learning on their own. That's just a small example of, you know, the differences that we deal with. So we try to provide as many opportunities within the school day to be able to do that. And then again, you know, also providing some of that social emotional support for those students during the day.
For somebody who's never walked into a Marion City school building, mm-hmm. how would you describe it?
Oh, I think, you know, I would encourage folks to visit their schools because I think you'll see that it is as nurturing an environment as any other school district. Just because, you know, we're classified as a city school district, you'll see, especially, you know, walk around our elementary buildings and the kids will come out. We have some programs in place like at Harrison Elementary called Leader in Me. And so we train our students how to be leaders within the school and how to interact with adults and how to, you know, conduct themselves with their peers. And so you walk in there and a student comes up to you and shakes your hand and introduces themselves. And, you know, those are the kinds of qualities that we're trying to instill leadership with our kids. And I don't know if people understand that we're, you know, we're really trying to develop children as whole children, not just, you know, academic content areas, but we're trying to teach them how to conduct themselves in life.
You talked about, and I think there was a story in the paper this week about the $10 million in mm-hmm. grants that came to Marion City. When did this become a focus of Marion City Schools?
Well, I think we've always, you know, sought out some grants. I think, you know, we are trying to we're trying to provide as many opportunities for our kids when they start in kindergarten through 12th grade and when they graduate. And so we've kind of had conversations. This started way before I got to Marion City Schools, but, you know, what do we call it the portrait of a graduate. You know, what does a graduate of Marion City Schools look like? What tools does that student have when they leave Marion City Schools and they're ready to embark on whatever career opportunity they choose? Do they have the skills necessary? And I think, you know, what we've determined is the traditional kind of educational process probably doesn't provide all of those tools necessary. So we are looking at being innovative in how we approach the education so that we can provide those students with more opportunities. For example, you know, we have developed a lot of career pathways within our school district. So, you know, if a student has an interest in engineering, there's a certain pathway that we put them on, but we'll give them some more skills specifically, you know, within that career opportunity. But, you know, that costs money to be able to redesign, you know, your philosophy or your how you go about providing that education. And so, you know, we've come up with a strategic plan of what our critical needs are. So now we can specifically go out and look for those grant opportunities to support that. And I think our I'll give credit to a lot of our folks in the district who worked very hard over this last year. You know, writing grants and gathering the data and all those things is a very tedious and time-consuming process, and they worked very hard, and we're seeing the fruits of that labor right now.
You know, a lot of people wonder, it seems like a simple question, but what is the focus, what is the job day-to-day of a superintendent?
Well, that's a good question. You know, it's, you know, right now, I mean, my job, I think, is as a leader in the school district, is to support, you know, support the departments that we have in place. And so, you know, I can't go out and do everything and micromanage and all those kinds of things, you know, so from my, what I call my cabinet and director staff, down to the principals, down to the teachers and the support staff, I think my first responsibility is to lead and set processes in place for us to be able to accomplish our jobs. I really believe in the concept of servant leadership, and so my job, I think, is to support all of the folks and in their duties and however I can. Try to remove barriers for them to be able to do their job, you know, and provide supports for them. So, you know, providing and leading the effort you know, to go out and find grant money would be part of my responsibilities, but also on a daily basis, making sure that, you know, we have processes in place to take care of our kids, safety issues, academic issues, fiscal issues. You know, there's a lot to do. I think probably the most important part for me is to build a team around me that can go out and really work on our mission and our vision for the district.
How does the superintendent work with the elected school board?
Oh, that's, you know, the superintendent is superintendent and treasurer are the two positions that the school board hires, and we are responsible for, you know, carrying out the day-to-day operations of the school district. So the jobs of the school board are actually twofold. So they hire and evaluate both the superintendent and the treasurer, but then the school board is also responsible for making policy decisions. And so it's my job to provide, you know, all of the information so that they can make informed decisions about our policies and procedures that we have in the district. Once they formulate those policies, then it's my job to carry out those policies and make sure that, you know, whatever those policies or whatever the vision of the board is, which is a representative of the community, that you know, we're following those policies and procedures that they put in place. I communicate with my board, you know, on a regular basis. You know, I get information out to them about what's happening in the school district, you know, upcoming issues, try to keep them up to speed on legislative issues and legal issues as well.
You know, it's interesting because 20 years ago, we wouldn't even be having a conversation about social media when it comes to anything.
Right.
And there are good and bad points to this.
Yep.
Now the good, we'll start with the good. Mm-hmm. How important is it for Marion City Schools to get things that you're doing out there on social media?
Oh, it's a vital part of what we do. And, you know, I think social media nowadays provides us an opportunity for us to have a two-way communication with our community. You know, for a long time, you know, we would send out newsletters on a quarterly basis, and we don't know how many people read the newsletters. We don't know what their ideas were, what their thoughts were about some of the issues and the initiatives that we have. I think now, I'll just give you an example. I think the other night, Monday night, I did a little Facebook Live presentation on the start of school. And the nice thing in that hour, I probably spoke for about 10 or 15 minutes about some of the things that are going on. And the rest of the time, just answered questions from people from the community. community. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the benefits of social media, is that we can get immediate feedback from the community and we can hear what their responses are to some of the things that we have going on.
What kind of questions did you get?
Well, I'm laughing because typically, you know, people look at the superintendent, especially in winter when you're in Ohio, you know, how do we make decisions about, you know, closing schools and inclement weather and those kinds of things, which is quite interesting because there's really no science to it. I mean, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and drive around and talk to the street superintendent here and other superintendents. I mean, we're always trying to make sure we keep the safety of students in mind. But, you know, as you look past through the years, you know, back in the day, maybe when we were in school, we didn't really have off very much. We just made sure we got to school because there's that fine line between, you know, we need students. If we're going to educate them, they need to be in school. But we also want to keep them safe. So that's one of the questions. But, you know, we had questions about, you know, what are we doing to really reduce the amount of bullying that goes on in school? And that's a great question, and was really happy to be able to answer that and some of the things that we have in place to help that. You know, we had questions about just, you know, open enrollment and how do I get into school and what's the procedures for that. So questions like that, off the top of my head, were some of the things that I answered, but those are all good questions.
Well, it's interesting because it leads into one of my questions, because I think the bad part of social media, I was shocked at this. I was talking to a student who I believe is a middle school student, and I said, you know what, are some of the things that go on in schools? Mm-hmm. And bullying was one of those things. It's a big word. And I said, well, how does that happen without skipping a beat? Social media, Facebook.
There's no question that, you know, probably one of our most critical needs is to be able to talk to our students about how they use social media. And, you know, it's part of life every day. I have two children and, you know, I monitor their social media on a regular basis and have had to have conversations with my children about what they post or and those kinds of things. And, you know, we're doing a lot to bring in folks who really understand how social media affects the environment and how it can affect the child so that we give them as much education. We're also bringing in parents to talk about that and what, you know, how to monitor your child's social media. And even, you know, some education on how they use social media as parents and what the effect of that is. There's no question that that is a critical need. It's not just in our school district, but school districts across the United States. I mean, there's, you know, we know that kids have been bullied on social media, which has resulted in children being harmed. And so we need to continually look at the ways that we're educating both our children, our parents, and our staff members on how to monitor those.
This wouldn't be necessarily from a bullying aspect, but when it comes to staff members, teachers, people who work mm-hmm. in the school, are there things that you would not want to see posted on social media because teachers, yeah. staff members have those things?
Well, and you know, we have if we bring in new staff members who are a lot younger and a lot more, you know, social media adept, they, you know, we have... Monday and Tuesday, we had a new teacher orientation, and part of what we did was, you know, talk to them about their responsibilities as a professional and the role models that they are and access to social media, and we encourage them to be mindful of that and make sure that, you know, what they're posting and those is and understand that there are parents that may be on there that see, you know, what they do outside of school. And so, yeah, we do, you know, we do speak to our teachers about that and how that social media can affect their professionalism as a classroom teacher.
Last year was your first year with Marion City Schools. Prior to that, what's your background?
Well, this is my 31st year in education, and so I taught. You know, I was a high school social studies teacher, coached track, football, baseball, or, you know, whatever I could for about 10 years, and then I became an administrator. I was a high school principal. Moved into central office as a curriculum and instruction director. And then was able to secure a superintendent's position actually over in the Mahoning County, Youngstown area. Columbiana County actually was the district that I was the superintendent in. And I spent 5 years at that. And then I had a great opportunity to become an educational service center superintendent. So I got to work with, you know, 11 or 12 districts in Mahoning County and help them out with some of their issues. During that time period, the Board of Education at the ESC was also the Board of Education for the Career and Technical Center. And so the superintendent at the Career Tech Center resigned, or retired actually, and so my board asked me if I would do both the ESC and the Career Tech Center. So I spent the last 4 years before coming to Marion as a Career Tech Center superintendent, which really opened my eyes to the opportunities that I think we need to provide for children and students in relation to getting them out into the workforce and giving them those skills. So,
what brought you to Marion?
Well, you know, I actually, as a Career Tech Center superintendent, we actually had a relationship with Marion City Schools in Mahoning County. The previous superintendent, two superintendents ago, Gary Barber, was here for quite some time, and he's from the Mahoning Valley as well. And Gary and I taught together, and so we've always had a relationship. So, you know, we had lots of conversations about education and, you know, some of the initiatives that they were doing, that we were doing. And we actually partnered on a couple straight A grants that through the state of Ohio to provide career advising counselors to school districts. And we put a program in place called Simulated Workplace. So we're trying to prepare students that graduate from high school on what it's like to be actually have a job and what it's like, how to conduct themselves in the workplace. So I had I knew about Marion City Schools and actually knew quite a few of the administrators here because we had worked with them. And so when Gary left for another position, that's what interested me. I think, you know, my background in career tech and helping districts like Marion try to improve academic achievement, transform those, I just was really interested to come here and try to lead, you know, some of those efforts here in Marion City.
Last year being your first year, what would you characterize that year like for you?
Well, for me, it was, you know, really, I would characterize it as information gathering, you know, really just having conversations, trying to get out into the community as much to see what, you know, the expectations are in this community, to see what some of those critical needs are within the community, you know, what people want from Marion City Schools as parents and community. And then, you know, having conversations with our staff members to find out, you know, what are the barriers that they have? Why is our report card the way it is? Why do, you know, 60% of our students not read at grade level? So, you know, figuring out what the issues are and then identifying what those critical needs are. And then I spent probably the entire spring this past year on working on our strategic plan to address those needs. So I feel really good about, you know, going into the second year with, you know, it's still a work in progress and, you know, we don't have a magic wand and it's going to take some time to make those improvements. But I feel like we have a good plan that has measurable goals that we can monitor along the way to see how effective we are. And if we're not effective, then we can come back to the table and figure out some new strategies. But I feel really comfortable that I think we have a good structure and some good processes in place moving forward.
There was a lot of talk last year, certainly in the governor's race, but on a local level too, about the alternative ways to learn through online schools and things of that nature. How did that all break down in Marion City Schools last year?
Well, you know, in previous to coming to Marion City Schools, I mean, there were a couple opportunities where Marion City Schools actually initiated and sponsored community schools that were based on alternative forms of education. So the Rushmore Academy that was located out at Tri Rivers was really geared towards those students that struggled in a traditional classroom, traditional high school. So that was built kind of around career tech. So they give additional career tech opportunities for those students who may have struggled and didn't qualify for programs that are out at Tri Rivers. They still had that opportunity to do that. And then they had an online academy as well, where students could, you know, that might have been credit deficient, you know, trying to get them back up to speed. And so, again, previous to my arrival here, they kind of, you know, there were some issues that they no longer could support those community schools. But, you know, we are moving forward and we know that, you know, we need to provide those kinds of opportunities in Marion City Schools. So I'm really proud to say that, you know, we took one of our buildings, which was Colonial Acres, which you may or not been familiar with, Put some grant money into that building, and now we're going to move what was Rushmore Academy over to the new building, which in a couple of weeks we're excited about. We have a special announcement we're going to be making into as far as the name of that building. I don't want to give away the secret, but
I've heard about this.
So we're looking forward to that. But we also are going to apply with that program. We are going to apply for a STEM designation through the state of Ohio, and we think that's an important part of, you know, kind of an alternative educational system that is built on problem-based learning, built around, you know, the science, technology, engineering, and math. So we're really excited about that as well. And we've already incorporated into our traditional high school classrooms the idea of some of that has to be a blended online approach, because as they graduate, you know, those students need those skills to be able to navigate their way around, you know, software and technology.
In a world of open enrollment schools, in a county with five school districts, how hard is that to deal with?
Well, you know, it's just one of those things that you have to deal with, whether you agree with it or not. I mean, I personally believe that students should be educated where they live, and, you know, there's tax dollars. But I also believe, you know, that parents have a right to choose, you know, where they should send their students to school. So, you know, I think what we try to focus on in Marion City Schools is, are we providing the opportunities for all children to be successful? And, you know, are we the most viable option within our community for our students to attend here? And, you know, we have looked at the data, and we have a lot of students, you know, that leave. We have about 800 students that leave us on open enrollment, and about another 500 students that leave us to go to charter and community schools. So if you take 1,300 students and times that by, you know, $7,000, which is the average, I mean, there's a lot of money going out of Marion City Schools, which, if those children are successful in those environments, then that's in the best interest of them. You know, I would like to see, and I think there's some legislation being introduced to change the way that's funded, that some of those opportunities would be funded directly from the state rather than being deducted from the local school district's, you know, foundation and the amount of tax dollars that they. But so, you know, yeah, it's something that we deal with. We have open enrollment, so we take students in. I'd be a hypocrite if I said I don't want our students to do that, because I'm glad that, you know, some folks from this county believe that Marion City Schools has a lot to offer, and they're willing, you know, to send their students here for those programs that we do offer.
It's interesting because even yesterday, you can't help drive around this town right now and not see that where the site of the old Marion Catholic High School, there is a new school there. I think everybody's a little curious as to what's going on there because it is the first year for it.
Yes.
What do you make, know, think about it?
Well, you know, I am a proponent of public education, and I think that, you know, the idea of for-profit educational entities, I think there's some conflicts there with, you know, providing the best opportunities for students. Because, you know, business-related, if you took what we do on a daily basis, and I know a lot of people say we should operate schools like a business, but, you know, we're in the business of producing quality citizens. You know, we're not making widgets and those kinds of things. So the bottom line for us has nothing to do with profit or amount of money that we bring in. The bottom line for us is what do we produce as far as an educated, you know, well productive citizen. And so, you know, I have a fundamental issue with that. Again, you know, I understand that parents should have the right to choose where they send their students, but you know, and I think that you know, there's obviously, you know, these for-profit charter schools, you know, has not been the answer that, you know, we see over and over and over again, where, you know, they you know, there's mismanagement of funds, you know, ECOT, you look at that situation. Again, those are for-profit schools that I think take tax dollars, and you know, people say there's no local tax dollars that are used to support that, which is not true. In Marion City Schools, we receive about $4,000 from the state through a foundation directly, but we have at least $7,000 that gets deducted from our foundation that goes to some of these for-profit schools, which means there's a gap of $3,000 in there that has to come from somewhere, and it comes from local tax dollars. That's the bottom line. You can't dispute that. And so, you know, I think people need to understand accurate information about that. You know, I'm sure that there are caring teachers within those schools that, you know, are doing the best job they can to provide an opportunity for those students. But I just have a fundamental problem with, you know, this idea that, you know, there's somebody making a lot of money off of trying to educate children.
Have there been a lot of students leaving Marion City Schools for this school?
No, not really. I mean, I believe they opened up school yesterday, and I think originally they had sent us, because we're responsible for transportation for any student who lives in Marion City. We have to transport them to the school, so we have to provide busing for them. And so we got a list of about 93 students, I think, that may have enrolled. But I think yesterday we may have picked up 21 students in our bus routes. And we haven't had that number of requests for transcripts and records to be transferred over there. So I think what happened was, you know, they had a lot of informational meetings, and when parents came and kind of signed up for possibly attending the school, they were just placed on a roster. So out of those 93, I probably think maybe as many as 30, 31 from Marion City Schools will actually attend Marion Prep Academy this year.
It's interesting. Before we went on the air, we were talking about how 20 years ago, there was a push in schools that says everybody has to go to college. Mm-hmm. Everybody must go. Factory jobs are going to be gone. It's going to be over, and you've got to have some kind of college. In 2019, what is the philosophy of a superintendent of a school district?
Well, you know, I could probably talk again for hours on that topic, but I'll go back. And you mentioned 2000. The key event in 2000 was the passage of the No Child Left Behind Act. And so, you know, that's when the implementation of state testing and accountabilities and report cards and those kinds of things. And there's no question that the goal behind that was to make sure that every child was prepared for college. And so, you know, what has happened over the last 20 years in school districts is, because of that, you know, the entire emphasis has been placed on, you know, those areas that have been tested, that are tested. And we spend a lot of time and resources into trying to prepare kids to take tests. And so, you know, that's been an issue. And what we found, though, is, you know, you look at national statistics right now, really only about 33% of students who enter college graduate on time with the degree in which they intended when they enrolled. So one out of every three students is actually being successful in that environment. So what happens to those other students? And, you know, the amount of retraining and those students who, you know, go to college for 5 years and don't graduate and accumulate a mountain of debt and that, those kinds of things. So I think we're starting to understand that there are many opportunities for students, you know, when they graduate from high school that don't necessarily require them to go directly to college. So if we can equip them with some skills to get them into the workforce and they can help support themselves, you know, if they want to go to college later on, if they have an industry credential, for example, that will provide them an opportunity to get in the workforce, and then they now see the other opportunities that exist within that career path if they go to school. So they kind of have a better understanding and some of exposure to that. So I really see a pendulum swift shift, if you will, to, you know, this idea of being more career ready than just college ready. And that may look different for different students. You know, there might be a student that, you know, wants to just enter the workforce. And some of our students in Marion, you know, even though they get grant money to go to college and most of their tuition is paid for, they still have to support themselves, you know, with gas and food and those kinds of things. And they struggle sometimes. And that's, you know, we talk to our students, that's one of the big reasons why they drop out of college, because they just can't support themselves. But if we give them an opportunity to get a good job, and then, you know, so what if it takes you 8 years to graduate from college and you're working your way through that? I mean, that's been, you know, the change in philosophy over the last couple of years.
it's almost become synonymous with schools now, teaching to the test, teaching to the test. Are we still there? What's it going to take to get away from that?
Well, I just think that the idea of, you know, a student going through the year and then taking a paper and pencil test or an online test, and it's, you know, a one-time snapshot of what we think they know, you know, all the research is out there that tells us is, you know, when we're assessing a child on what they know, sometimes it takes multiple forms of assessments to really get a good gauge on what that child knows or doesn't know. And so, you know, unfortunately, yeah, we've taught to the tests for a long time. But again, I think there's a change in philosophy because, you know, the true assessment of whether a child knows something or doesn't is if they can take that concept and apply it to something that's real world. You know, for example, a math problem, if I just memorize what 4 times 4 is, but I have no way of applying that or I can't understand how to apply that. So, you know, the idea of you know, giving students an opportunity to perform in an assessment so we can really gauge whether or not they understand that, again, is a different philosophy. And I think that's the direction we're moving into. And that's something I'd love to see continue along those lines. That's a more accurate evaluation of students.
A big discussion, certainly with last week's incident in Dayton, Ohio, is school safety. Mm-hmm. It is... It's got to be in the forefront of everybody's mind who has a child who goes to school. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of buildings in Marion City Schools, right. One high school, one middle school, but a lot of elementaries. What is being done in Marion City Schools to protect the students?
Right. And safety means a lot of different things. You know, when we're talking about protecting our students from, you know, outside intruders and those kinds of things that happen, you know, are part of our safety issues. So we develop safety plans. You know, we involve all of our first responders, all of our emergency personnel within the community leaders, to make sure we have a very good plan that will protect our students. But that's just one part of that. You know, again, you know, safety to a lot of parents and community members, it means, you know, when I send my child to school on a daily basis, am I sure that they're protected, you know, from those forces outside, but within the school, are they protected as well? So the social emotional part of that and the bullying and all those kinds of things are part of that safety for students. So, you know, if you want to talk about one of my responsibilities, and the most critical is, you know, that to ensure that parent that when that child leaves the house and gets on the bus or gets a ride or walks to school, that, you know, they're in good hands and they're safe from all of those, you know, forces out there that are unsafe for those students.
Is there something in place that obviously we could talk about, we don't want to give everything away, that has been maybe the biggest preventative measure to stop something bad from happening?
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, we were fortunate enough this year, and we put a lot of effort into looking at, you know, how secure our buildings are. And so we have a brand new security system with cameras that we can monitor who's coming into the buildings. You know, we have a system in place as well that if, you know, someone has been identified as you know, a person that we feel comfortable with allowing them into the building, then they have to go directly to the office, and we have what's called a Raptor system where you have to have identification. We immediately run a background check on those folks, especially when we don't know, you know, who they are. And so we've worked really hard on making sure that you know, the physical plant within each building is safe enough where when somebody comes in, they have to go through multiple measures before they can get close to where any student is.
When it comes to schools, you have to have pride in the district you're in. Mm-hmm. If you are a Marion City School student, or you are the father, aunt, uncle, grandparent, what are, in your opinion, the reasons to be proud of that school district?
Yeah, you know, I've had an opportunity to really get out into the community, and I think Marion City in general is headed in the right direction. You know, and this concept of being Marion made, I think, has really resonated throughout the community. And we really, you know, emphasize that with our students. You know, some of the things we do, I encourage anybody out there to come to what we call Prexy Signing Day. So when our seniors, during that time, you know, when they you know, get their name called out and they're in the stands and we recognize what they're going to do beyond high school. I mean, you can just see in their faces the pride of, you know, what they've accomplished. And I think that's, you know, we have those opportunities we provide in Marion for our students that might be unique, you know, to the area. And so, you know, our folks that have graduated from Harding and remain in this community, you know, I talk to a lot of people and the first thing they'll tell me is I'm a Harding grad and I'm very proud of where I came from and I want to see these schools be successful. And that's what I've gathered from the community, especially in the past year since I've been here. You being one of those.
That's exactly right. That's exactly true. How important are sports in a high school world?
It's not just sports. I mean, you know, in any extracurricular that we can provide for students, I mean, that opportunity to be involved in a team, to understand, you know, how to work together, to be coachable and to take critical advice are all life skills that, you know, we struggle sometimes with in a traditional classroom. So those, you know, when you're in choir and band, and again, you're working in an ensemble with other, you know, where you have to be on the same page or else you're going to sound terrible. You know, those opportunities, again, we don't get those opportunities to do a lot of that in a traditional classroom or traditional setting.
Has there been a moment in the last year with Marion City Schools that stands out in your mind as a great moment?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot. I mean, I'll go back to the first day of school last year, and we do something special now. And again, we'll be doing this on Monday morning. So anybody that's out there is listening, we call it a clap-in. And so the first day of school, we get people from the community, and you know, we've reached out to a lot of the churches in the area and different organizations to encourage people on the first day of school to get out to the school district and really welcome our students on the first day of school and encourage them that, you know, education is important to this community, that we need to be in school, they need to be, you know, ready to learn. And really, I think that's has a huge impact. And then again, you know, so it goes from the start of school and then all the way up to our Prexy signing day and commencement, which is, you know, where we send our students out into the world. You know, that those are really exciting days and critical days.
What is it like to be the superintendent for Marion City Schools? How would you define it?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think it you have to, you really have to have some experience in, you know, communities like this. And I think that's a benefit for me being in Marion is, you know, growing up in Youngstown and specifically Struthers, and I've said this from day one, if I fell asleep in Youngstown and woke up in Marion, I probably wouldn't know the difference very much because they're very similar communities. You have to understand, you know, what the community brings to the table, you know, what our kids experience and, you know, what some of those expectations are. You know, I take it very, you know, it's a very serious position. We are dealing with, you know, the lives of children and making them, you know, be successful in life. And so it's a huge responsibility, but it's the reason that I, you know, became a superintendent. You know, the best days that I have, I had an opportunity this past year in, we have what's called positive behavior intervention supports, where students who do a good job in a classroom get some rewards. And one of the rewards was lunch with the superintendent. So I had a little first grader over at Hayes Elementary that chose to have lunch with me. So I took him to McDonald's and I ended up spending the whole afternoon with the child and just brought him to, you know, the central offices and let him sit in my chair. And so those are things that, you know, I don't get enough opportunities to do on a regular basis, but, you know, that's something that really makes your day.
First day of school is Monday. I saw a lot of cars. Anybody who drove by Harding yesterday saw an awful lot of cars there. How big of an undertaking is the first day of school?
Well, it takes an entire summer to get ready for the opening of school. You know, I kind of laugh. I chuckle sometimes when they say, "Hey, you have all summer off," which is, you know, we do a lot of work in the summer in preparation. We've had a lot of professional development for our teachers. You know, we have a new strategic plan. We have a whole new literacy plan in place. And so getting our teachers professionally developed on that and making sure they have all the tools and resources. Yesterday, we had a great day for convocation. We had a guest speaker that came in and talked about and relayed to our staff members the impact that trauma has on students. But his story was all about how a teacher changed his life. So that was, you know, our teachers got to hear that first thing in the morning and just to reflect on how much of an impact teachers have on student lives and how they can change them. So there's a lot that goes into the first day. I mean, obviously there's logistical things with bus routes and transportation and class sizes and all that. That takes a lot of effort and a lot of support staff that they're all, some of our secretaries, our bus drivers, our cooks, you know, are all doing work in preparation for the start of school.
Mm. Marion City Schools kick off on Monday, new school year. And we were so glad today to be joined for the first time, hopefully not the last, by Dr. Ron Arusi, the Superintendent of Marion City Schools. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Scott. Pleasure.
Charlie Evers coming up in 10 minutes.
.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783. The WH Radio Prize Policy.